Good morning, this beautiful Tuesday in Western Kentucky. I'm your podcast host, Edward Marlowe, for those who inquired, and I am here in studio with Neilium Bradley.
That's me.
Yeah, it is. Neil, I noticed your shirt today.
Yeah.
Dwight Schrute's Gym for Muscles.
You got it.
That's good. I like that.
I can't legally join that one, so I'm in Mega Gym, but this would be my preferred one because, I mean, to be a Dwight Schrute, come on.
Can you imagine if Rainn Wilson actually was in charge of a gym?
Well, Rainn Wilson, yes, but if it was Dwight Schrute, no, I can't imagine that. I really probably wouldn't want anything to do with it. You know, Moe's would be around doing stuff.
Right.
It wouldn't really be a good experience.
It would also be, do you think it would be a borderline militant experience? How do you think Dwight Schrute would run a gym?
Yeah, there would be some sort of stupid rules, and I don't know what, and he would come up with all sorts of reasons for the rules. But yeah, it would be militant, other than generally at a gym, treat others kindly, take care of the equipment, wipe your stuff down, pay your dues. That's really about it.
Yeah.
Gyms are pretty laid back kind of things.
Yeah.
As long as you do your thing, don't bother anybody else and don't mess with our equipment and pay us, everything's fine.
Right.
With Dwight, there would be some other deals there. You'd probably be required to buy some beet juice, to eat some beets, something like that. I have no idea.
Beets, bears, and Battlestar Galactica.
And yeah, annually maybe wrestle a bear for your some sort of fitness test. I don't know.
That's hilarious. So let's I'd like to open up by sending a happy belated birthday to Ja Morant.
Yeah. Happened this week. 21, is that right?
He is 21. He turned 21 yesterday. The NBA.com unveiled his 21 top dunks for his 21st birthday. Yeah. The crazy thing about it, is that he has dunked far more than that. They just picked his top 21 from his rookie year.
Which, I've seen several of them. I don't know if I've seen all 21. But
It's going well. I want to talk a little bit about the Memphis Grizzlies right off the bat because of that. I know stealing a win against Oklahoma City was massive to make the play-in. Still a lot of different scenarios that I'll talk about here in just a minute. But at 1-5, Memphis is really just trying to hold it together at this point. You know, Jaren Jackson. Tyus Jones has not returned. Grayson Allen has been back in the mix. He looks healthy, and he's kind of been a bubble MVP for them, shooting the ball really well off the bench for the most part. But you knew Memphis's schedule was going to be really
Brooks.
Tough. Well,
I didn't hear anything about Brooks?
I can't do it, man. He is catching so much flack, man. Dylan Brooks.
He deserves a little of it.
He does deserve
it. I watched about 10 minutes on Sunday at my son's house, and I was like, those are bad shots, man. Don't do that.
He's just, you can just kind of tell he's forcing his offense a little bit.
And
he is. I really don't, I'm not going to get on the A train, the attack train. I can't do it. There are moments, though, that Dylan looks absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
And then there are moments where Dylan just looks like he forgot how to play basketball.
When you're not making shots as a player and then you're forcing bad shots, that sometimes will bring the criticism your way. And that's where a lot of it comes.
Yeah.
Is from that. Other than that, I think he's trying hard and I think he means well.
Yeah.
But he does sometimes make some poor decisions. And right now, he's probably being forced to make more of those poor decisions because they really need him with Jackson out of the lineup as they're trying to battle through these injuries.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, they're just trying to spark and find some offense. I mean, look, to Sunday, Jonas Valanciunas only took two shots, you know, because what ends up happening is that, you know, if they lock him down, it forces the guards to come out and shoot a lot more shots. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it was going to be tough either way, but they're not at 100%. Not going to make any excuses. Lots of teams are not at 100% right now.
Get the Celtics today, is that right?
Yeah, you got the Celtics this afternoon, actually, and that's kind of what I'll get into. So, real quick, though, I want to go ahead and bounce over to how Cameron Payne is playing.
My gosh.
Let's just talk about it.
Yeah. He's rolling.
Not only is he rolling, well, first of all, the Phoenix Suns are 6-0. They also just unloaded on Oklahoma City. I don't necessarily want to say they didn't play with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander against the Phoenix Suns. So, I mean, it's whatever. And I understand he's a key piece to them as well. They also have not been playing with Dennis Schroeder at all. Schroeder's kind of been, you know, not available at the moment from an injury perspective. So, I mean, they're locked into the playoffs anyways, you know, and I'm pretty sure, I'm about 90% sure they're locked into their spot. I think it can kind of float at the 5-6 area, but they're OKC's in. They know they're good to go.
And I'm going to show off my NBA skill set. The last guy you mentioned, I've never heard of him. If he showed up here and said he was an NBA player, I'd be like, okay.
Dennis Schroeder?
Don't have any idea.
So without boring you completely to death, Billy Donovan and Oklahoma City have been running what I would consider one of the more prolific three-guard weaves in the NBA.
I know what that is.
It's been really interesting because they've been playing three-point guards on a fairly consistent basis, and they use it as their closing lineup, and it's one of the best closing lineups in the league. And the reason that it works is kind of interesting, but basically what you have is you have Schroeder, Chris Paul, you know, Hall of Fame NBA.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Hall of Fame point guard.
I have heard of that guy.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
And him.
They're moving the basketball extremely well as a three-man weave. And so it's just, it's working beyond effective. We haven't seen it a lot in the bubble for various reasons. Holding this guy out, holding that guy out, so on and so forth. Back to Cameron Payne. One team that is healthy in the bubble is the Phoenix Suns. They are 6-0 after winning on Sunday against, Monday against
their opponent.
Yeah, yeah. The Oklahoma. Well, I was just talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Them.
Cam had 14-6-5 in the game. In the bubble, since he has resumed NBA activity, he's averaging 10.8 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, 3.2 assists per game, only 1.3 turnovers per game. So it's nearly a 3-to-1 assist to turnover
ratio.
That's
tremendous.
1.3 steals per game. He's shooting 50% from three.
That's crazy.
And 46.3% from the floor. Also hasn't missed a free throw.
Yeah, and for that's for a backup dude.
That's a backup point guard.
He'll eat real well for years with those numbers.
Yeah, I know more than anything that his first 4 or 5 years in the NBA just hasn't gone the way that he wanted it to. You know, health issues, maybe some attitude issues, some professional concerns there as far as how bad do you really want to be here. Furthermore, he was a lottery pick, so there's a lot of expectation that comes with that, even if you are the backup to Russell Westbrook. Like, that's how in Oklahoma City, you know, Cam, you know, he had his moments, but it was always going to be the Russell Westbrook show, and he was supposed to be able to provide a little bit of a lift behind Russ. Russ was going to play 37 minutes a game. Cam was going to play 9 until further notice. So, you know, they needed a backup point guard. It just didn't work out for him. He got traded to Chicago. We don't have to reiterate all of his career stops, but it seems that this career stop right now with Monty Williams, who was with Payne at Oklahoma City when he was first drafted, there is a union here. There is a true relationship, it seems like, that's starting to form. And, like, is Payne one of the key catalysts of them being 6-0? No, not particularly. Is Payne assisting deep in each quarter to help, like, keep things going? Absolutely. I mean, there have been 2 or 3. Against Indiana 2 games ago, Payne and the second unit built the lead against the Pacers while Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, you know, Cam Johnson, you know, all these guys sat down and you know, I think it was Payne and Saric that led the way, Dario Saric. So it's just, it's cool to see him really start to blossom in a role that I think he probably was built for. Was Cameron Payne built to be a franchise point guard? I don't know. I don't think so. Probably not, just with his type of skill set and where he was selected in the draft and the expectations of what he could do. But as a healthy point guard who could give you 20 minutes a game of his best effort, which we are seeing right now in this Orlando bubble, man, and we started to see it a little bit, Neil. Honestly, we've seen it some in the G League over the years, but this year specifically with the Texas Legends in the Dallas Mavericks system, you got to give a lot of credit. He was averaging 24, doing some silly stuff in the G League. Maybe he's finally healthy.
I think so, and I believe he's also refocused. He knows what it takes to succeed at that level, and there's growing pains to do that in the NBA. Sometimes you have a quick curve. Sometimes it takes a few years. I'm really happy to see Cam succeeding, one of our newest Murray State Hall of Famers.
Yes, absolutely. So in that discussion, Drew Hill of the Daily Memphian has broken down the scenarios for the play-in. And I kind of want to go over them real quick here as we start to wind down. We've got two games left. All of these teams have two games left. And you look how close it is. Memphis has a one-game lead. Well, they have a half-game lead on Portland. And they have a one-game lead on the San Antonio Spurs and the Phoenix Suns. So it's really, really tight for that play-in. And the way the play-in works, it's essentially going to happen if the 8 seed doesn't have a four-game lead on the rest of the field, like on the rest of the remaining teams,
right,
there is a play-in. And it can involve multiple teams. So here are the full scenarios. Grizzly scenario, if they go 2-0 from today on, they are the 8 seed and they lock it in. If Memphis goes 1-1, they automatically claim a play-in berth. Number 8, if the Blazers go 1-1 or 0-2. They are the 9 if the Blazers go 2-0 and the Sun and the Spurs can't pass the 1-1 Grizz even if they win out. If Memphis goes 0-2, this is where it gets weird. And again, this is all from Drew Hill of the Daily Memphian. Strong follow if you're a big Grizzlies fan. They'll be the 8 if the Blazers go 0-2 and the Spurs and the Suns don't win out. They're the 9, the Grizzlies are, if the Blazers go 1-1 and the Spurs and the Suns don't win out. Memphis is out altogether if the Blazers go 1-1 and the Spurs and the Suns both go 2-0. They are also out if the Blazers go 0-2 and the Spurs and the Suns win out. So it's just crazy that yeah. this is all in play. It's essentially the playoffs anyways. Really, all of these teams knew when they went to the bubble, it's playoff basketball. Like this is all on the line. Because Memphis has lost, and if you go and you look at this, they've lost games by 2 points, 9 points, 9 points, and 10 points without all of their key pieces. It's tough to kind of think about it that way, that they've been that close.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. And it's been playoff basketball since they've gotten to Orlando. So really exciting to see. Check out the Grizzlies and the Suns. This week you'll be watching John Morant and Cameron Payne play good basketball.
That's really good. I'm happy that we can do that. So it's real. The simple thing for the Grizzlies, they win, they're in. They need no help.
Yeah.
But that's hard to do.
Win one.
If they do.
Yeah, it's going to be extremely difficult considering they have the Celtics and Milwaukee. Now, the interesting part about it, I'm interested to see who the Celtics play this afternoon because they're almost a lock as well as right. far as where their
seed's
going to be.
They can rest some folks.
Milwaukee especially. I'm curious to see. Milwaukee's already taken one loss. They played Giannis 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, he scored 16 points in 18 minutes. I mean, he's that good. But it's one of those situations, like, once they get to, like, the second half of this game, Boston may just be like, the heck with it. You know, I mean, we'll just, you know, we'll toss some guys out there and see what happens. Same with Milwaukee. Milwaukee's the one. So, I mean, they already know where their fate is. Do you put Giannis out there knowing, man, in the middle of the second quarter, he tweaks his ankle? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of resting players, but I'm also not an NBA coach. So, yeah. You rest your players because you know you need them in the crunch time. And crunch time is playoffs. So, especially in this bubble, when it's all neutral floor and you don't know what's going to happen.
That's right.
More Racer basketball. Anthony Smith.
How about that? One of my favorites. I love Anthony Smith.
Anthony Smith is headed to, and I cannot pronounce the team's name, but he's headed to Portugal. Thanks, Matt McMahon, for telling us where that team is. I'm going to go check out his Twitter real quick. But, yeah, Matt broke the news, as did Anthony, that they are proud of him and that he is going to go play in Europe. How many Racers now are in Europe?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, so De Niro's still playing.
He's in Iceland, though.
Yep.
Tony. Yeah.
Tony's still. Jarvis.
Asuka.
Asuka, TJ Sapp. Is Sapp in Europe still?
Not sure where he is. Yeah, you have Isaiah in China?
Isaiah's in Russia.
Russia, okay. I forgot which one.
So, you'll have some people say that Russia and China are the same thing anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, they're not.
Yeah, they're definitely not. Yeah, McMahon confirms it here. 3 years, 77 wins, 3 rings, and a college degree. Rook is headed to a professional career in Portugal. I'm going to try and pronounce this. Clube Desportivo de Póvoa, which is just EuroLeague basketball.
Wow.
It looks like they play Looks like they'll start play in the spring. So really exciting thing for Anthony. I think I wrote about this, actually. It's one of my top memories from last season. I think Anthony's performance against Austin Peay in the regular season finale at home, his final home game, where he put up, what, 17 and 14?
Right.
And he held arguably the best player in the league to 9 points and 10 rebounds in Terry Taylor. It was one of the all-time performances for me. I mean, I've seen some great ones. I've seen some triple doubles. I've seen, you know, Jonathan Stark lose his mind at the three. I've seen Terrell Miller and Wayne Langston and Jeff Moss and, you know, even as a student, saw, you know, Isaiah Cannon and so on and so forth, campaign. And we could go on and on of the performances I've seen in the last decade. Anthony Smith's 17 and 14 to secure a co-OVC, help secure a co-OVC regular season championship was one of the all-time performances for me. Just knowing what was on the line, knowing how he had battled back from an injury. You know, this is a guy that was supposed to be a part of that big team the year before with Ja, and he was supposed to have already graduated and moved on. And, you know, and then once he, you know, he had that foot injury after the Alabama game in practice, I mean, you and I talked a little bit about it then 2 years ago, Neil. That was a bigger loss than people thought.
Yes, it was.
I mean, he plays like a guard who can rebound the hell out of a basketball. And it was just one of those situations where, like, you thought Rook was going to be a key contributor then. He'd already started to prove himself as a key rotation player. Granted, I think his injury did bring Devin Gilmore into the fold. I mean, you think about the role Devin started to take on toward the end of that season, and now he's this year's only senior.
Right.
And what a career he's had, you know, and has continued to build. But, you know, back to Anthony, it's one of those situations where you just didn't know, was he going to be able to bounce back and be as effective, you know, with that kind of an injury? And he was more than effective.
Yeah, he was better. Something that he really struggled with his junior year, but it certainly was never effort, but it was learning to defend without fouling. But he used that knowledge from that year, his off year. In this past season, you didn't see him in much foul trouble. He was a tremendous defensive player, still had the rebounding, still had the effort at all times. And that's what made me really like watching Anthony is the effort that's unmatched. There's no one's going to work harder than him. Great teammate and just a really good person. I just really like Anthony Smith, and I'm so happy that he's earned this opportunity. In Portugal, hopefully he'll learn a little Portuguese. I only know one person that speaks Portuguese. That's Gabriela Sabatini, one of my favorite all-time tennis players. And she's from Argentina, but speaks Portuguese.
Still speaks Portuguese.
Sorry, Anthony, I do not have her number.
Yeah, sorry. We apologize, buddy.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, no, great. It's going to be a great experience for him. And he kind of goes into a brotherhood there because there's already a lot of racers that are involved in European basketball. And it's going to be hopefully an important fraternity for him. He could be there a while. I mean, you look at this guy, 6'6", 215, 220. He's a problem on the low block.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see where his career goes.
Yeah, me too. Good luck and safe travels for Anthony.
So moving on to some racer football, I know Monday seemed like some tough news. You lost Tarleton State. They announced that they, newly fresh FCS, by the way, they will be playing independent once they finally do take the field. But the Texans are no longer on the racer schedule by an announcement through Tarleton State. They've moved football to the spring, and that brings us to two of Murray State's football games no longer on the schedule.
Yeah, and so far no word as to whether they will try to be replaced, if they'll go with this. There's also no word from the OVC. Are they going to move to a conference-only schedule once those money games seem to have fallen by the wayside, if that's something they'll try to do. But, I mean, Murray State, they're almost to that point other than the Georgia State game.
Right.
And that's a paycheck that if they're going to play and they can play it, they need to play it because they need the money.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and Georgia State wants to play. So the Sun Belt did announce yesterday that they have full intentions of playing alongside the SEC's guideline. Like they want to watch what the ACC and the SEC are doing. But according to Stadium, Brett McMurphy and several guys, Jeff Goodman, so on and so forth, they've announced that the Sun Belt has full intentions to play this season.
Right.
Now, what does that mean? I don't know. You know, the Racers are, one of a few teams in the league that probably have a Sun Belt game, you mm-hmm. know, on their schedule. But, you know, I'm seeing a little bit of criticism regarding the OVC standing pat on its decision on what they're going to do. Like, they keep, we'll just call it the can-kicking championships of 2020.
Sure.
But what I am going to give the OVC credit for is you have to wait and see which Power 5 conferences are even going to play in the fall to begin with, because the OVC does rely on Power 5 and Power, let's just say the six, the big six. You rely on those top six conferences to play your non-conference games in a lot of regard. If it's not one, it's two. And you don't like the buy-in games because, you know, it's typically a loss, but you like the buy-in games because it's a win from the paycheck perspective.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have to wait and see what the big boys do to figure out, and I'm sorry to put it this way, but it's just the truth, to wait and see what scraps are left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the money that's on the table, you have to know what's available. So, like, I actually am going to applaud the OVC for waiting to the last minute to decide what's going to be left, because they need to know what the calendar is even going to look like. Like, for instance, just let's put it at the micro level. Once Murray State learned last week that Louisville was no longer on the schedule, you know, Kevin Saul releases a statement, hey, the schedule is fluid, we're moving forward as is. Okay, well, the rest of the league has to do that too. Mm-hmm. The rest of the conference is losing their games as well. I mean, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, the ACC only kept two FCS opponents in their entire scheduling from all of their teams in the conference. Parker Griffith of Murray State football is the one that told me that apparently Samford and VMI are the only two teams that kept ACC opponents. Okay, that makes sense. So now the OVC has to go to the table and look at the situation. Well, what are we going to do? Well, SEC's gone conference only plus one. They've got to wait for all the big boys to figure it all out. So I hate that Racer football has lost Tarleton State. I thought that was going to be kind of an exciting game. This is a new FCS opponent. They went 11-1 last year. They won 11 in a row before they lost in the playoffs. Mm. They had a couple of key transfers this year coming in. Plus, like I said, their first year in FCS. So that would have been a heck of a home opponent. And likely the Racers would not have been favored in it.
Yeah.
But it would have been a lot of fun to see that. Hate to see that Louisville's not on the schedule. But we'll see what it... We'll see what's going to happen.
Tennessee Tech went out and picked up a game. They had Minnesota drop out when the Big Ten elected to go conference only. They picked up Southern Miss for September 19th. That is something that the Racers would have the opportunity to do. And I know there's people that are listening, and by the time you listen to this, the decision may have been made, although I don't think so. That's probably thinking, well, if we end up not playing, then the Racer football team, they've just wasted their time. And I don't think they have.
If they
end up not playing and maybe pushing it to spring, remember, this team had no spring football. They're getting fall football, and I don't believe a decision will be made this week. And at the earliest, probably in the next week. This is some weeks they really desperately needed. It'll help them catch up if they do move OVC football to the spring. They'll sort of be caught up, I think.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this right now. I had not seen the news on the Tennessee Tech pickup, and that's a great addition, because if Tennessee Tech is even remotely convinced that they're going to play football, they went ahead and filled the schedule.
Yes.
So,
and that was late last week that was announced.
And Conference USA has actually announced that they also want to go ahead with football. So that means your Westerns, your Southern Misses, they're going to play. So are they going to play to a large crowd?
No, I
doubt that. Highly unlikely. Almost impossible. Are they going to play and have some sort of semblance of a normalcy? Yes. I personally think, I know Monday came with a lot of trepidation by the end of the afternoon, because a lot of people seem to think that college football is not going to be played this fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not convinced that's going to happen.
I'm not either, but I am convinced there will be other conferences elect not to play.
Yeah, I think there will be other conferences that elect not to play, but I mean, are we going to have an FBS championship? Are we going to have an FCS championship? Oh,
we won't have an FCS championship.
No, we won't. And an FBS championship looks questionable.
Right.
You know, here's what's so tough. You and I can extrapolate all day long, but the way that 2020 has gone, I mean, you and I might be talking about something completely different next Monday. Or next Tuesday. I have no clue.
I know.
I just know what teams are trying to do, and I know that the SEC is trying to play. I know that the ACC is trying to play. I know that the Big 12 is trying to play. Apparently, the Big 10 discussion on Monday might have been too early, because you had a lot of ADs and coaches that were like, now, wait a minute. We actually didn't decide on this, even though a vote apparently came out. By the end of the day, there were people just like, oh, we might be postponing the season to the spring. So it's just, I'm not going to blame media. I'm not going to blame anybody in particular. I am simply going to state that nobody really knows what's going on because certain factions want to do one thing and certain factions want to do another. I can't even say anything too much about high school athletics at the moment because even with Andy Beshear's recommendation for no students in classes until September 28th, that doesn't mean no school.
No, but it does mean Callaway County will have to change their policy because their policy is if you remote learn, you can't play extracurricular, participate in extracurricular activities.
You can or can't?
Cannot.
Cannot.
It's their school policy 2021 right on their front page. So that must be changed or they obviously can't play football.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll see. I mean, again, it's just a recommendation. I know that high school football coaches across the United States have spent the last 48 hours trying to create a unified message. But it's one of those situations where, you know, it's all fluid. And when you and I have more details on it, we'll attack it. But as we speak, Racer football down two games. We'll see if they try to fill those slots over the next few weeks.
And considering everything, if they end up playing nine games, that's successful.
I agree.
It really is. I think that's great if they can do that.
I'll leave you with this, Neil. I would be of the notion, I would be thrilled with this if you told me that you played conference-only games plus one, you get your one bye game or whatever game it is that your school needs to maintain a somewhat of a normal schedule, and let's go into it. Let's go into conference. Let's play it. 25% of your fans, socially distanced, maintain the protocol, and battle COVID-19 the effective way. Maybe you and I can talk about this next week, but I tweeted about it a little bit. Let's get a sports bubble going. Let's do it. Let's do it at the college level.
There's some things we can talk about. Kind of limited in time today because of obligation that I have, but next week we'll might have a big show because of that.
Well, we might have more details as well.
Sure.
Neil, appreciate it, man. Always fun.
Glad to talk with you.
Enjoy your chat with Kyle Schwartz.
I'll do it. Thank you.